Yes, hello. Welcome to the show. Why did I start with yes, hello?
Sure.
Never started with that. I'm Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. Yes, hello. That's my new sign-in. This is America Online, and I am signing in.
Signing in.
And today I am joined by regular panelists Rhea Butcher and Ricky Carmona. Rhea Butcher, the Lady James Dean, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm trying not to say the word fantastic on here anymore.
Why are you saying that?
Because I, listen to our show, and holy cow do I say fantastic a lot.
Yeah, so. I didn't realize that neither of you guys were listening to our show.
No, I listen to our show.
I listen to it while I sleep.
Yeah.
I listen to it while I hike. My parents listen to it.
Oh.
I've embedded it into a stuffed animal.
Wow.
And then I have the stuffed animal kind of project our voices out of its
mouth. You dubbed it to a cassette tape and popped it into Cricket.
I did. I put it in a Cricket doll.
Is that like Teddy Ruxpin?
Yeah, it was exactly the girl like Teddy Ruxpin. Oh,
okay, all right,
and
I'm on board.
And that is also the voice of the Afro spokesman, Mr. Ricky Carmona.
What it do, people?
Oh, we are going to talk movie news. We're going to get into our hopes and dreams. And we are going to give a brief review of The Hunger Games, which is currently available on Netflix Watch Instant. Now, there will be some spoilers during that part of the show, so you could listen to some of the show. We'll let you know ahead of The Hunger Games. Or you could pause the whole show right now. You can go watch it on Watch Instant. Or you just listen all the way through because you know you have a fuck. And you know that we're going to be hilarious and entertaining either way. Wonderful. Okay, I want to start with some movie news. This is something I actually hadn't heard too much about. I don't know if you guys had heard more about this movie, but this is currently out. Frankenstein's Army.
No.
Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Wow, here we go.
I've heard zero about this.
Okay, so I'm doing my research.
Okay.
Frankenstein's Army is out right now, and it's a horror movie. But that's not really what we cover on the show, nor can I see horror movies, although, as you know, I do research them, and I have read all of their plots on Wikipedia. Frankenstein's Army, I just want to bring this up because I know that it was kind of a big deal this year that World War Z came out. But a lot of people were having a problem with the zombies in that movie. Now, I don't think... Neither of you guys saw that, right?
I saw it.
You did see it.
World War Z.
Yeah, a snooze.
Good one, Ricky.
Yeah.
Snooze
Thank
fest?
You. Snooze fest.
How did the...
Bummer.
Because from the trailer, it looked like they did some cool stuff with like piles of
yes.
people. Did that look good at all?
It looked very good. That was very cool looking. But the problem that I had with the zombies was the same problem that I had with the vampires in I Am Legend.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys saw that
in the
Will Smith movie.
No.
They were CGI, and it was just
yes.
unnecessary. Like, I don't...
Like, super fake?
Like,
yeah.
the
like
wolves
a video game
in
kind of a
Twilight.
Yes.
Guys,
yeah, look at
now you're speaking my language.
They're like, the body is so rubbery
okay.
that there's just no weight to it. So there's no... It's like when you see, like, dead eyes and, like,
yes.
a Robert Zemeckis animated
right, right,
movie.
Right.
Where I'm just like...
So this is why I bring this up, because people... I had heard that from other people besides just you. I remember that being, you know, part of the reviews that were coming out about that was that the VFX house was getting paid too much money to make World War Z. So Frankenstein's Army is I think vaguely Nazi. Of course.
Okay.
Well, but then also it is an army of Frankensteins, which I never really thought about, that Frankenstein is kind of a zombie in a way.
I guess so. Yeah, I never thought about it like that either.
But that's what they're kind of, it's a zombie movie. It's just a bunch of different Frankensteins that are made into an army.
Like him and his cousins?
Yeah, it's like all of his boys. but I believe it's all practical effects, or mostly practical effects.
Well, that's intriguing.
I like
so
that.
I want to just say that I cannot even look at the film stills. I like had to look at them
really?
Squinting
so
from far away. It looks like people's have like really long, weird, like pokey hands. I can't explain it, but it's terrifying.
Well, I will take the bullet for you, and I will watch this movie. Where can I find this movie?
I think it's just out in theaters right now, but I think it's a smaller release, obviously,
okay.
than World War Z, because we haven't even heard about it. But I just want to bring it up, because if you're looking for those practical effect zombies, that's where they are. Let me know. It looks terrifying. I can't even... there's, like, goggles. I don't know. You know when, like... they look steampunky. Like,
oh,
steampunky.
Okay. Like Hellboy, the crazy... Yeah, you
like,
were...
Yeah, like that dude
what's
from...
the dude's name? Yeah.
The dude from
dude.
Hellboy,
yes.
the...
Zipflig.
I think we all know what we're talking about. They look exactly like that guy, except freakier. So anyway, there we go.
Dripping faces?
Yes. No, not dripping faces. The faces aren't dripping. Not at all. There's nothing to drip out of them. They're dead. Rhea, you haven't listened to a goddamn word I've said. There's no fluid in there. They've been drained. I don't know.
They've been trained.
Okay, The Wolverine is also out, and I know that. So I know that I'm personally not rushing to go see it. Are you, Rhea? I think.
I mean, the trailers looked kind of. I just don't care.
Ricky, have you seen it, or are you going to see it?
I have not seen it. I was not impressed by the trailer as well. And I haven't seen the last one that came out that is supposed to be, like, one of the worst movies of that year.
I did see that.
And I just feel like I'm still carrying that negativity towards it.
Sure. You know, I'm curious just to see, like, how that movie ends up affecting literally, like, that franchise and also Hugh Jackman's career. Because he was hitting such a stride. You know, you get Wolverine and then, like, to be in something great like Les Mis, you know, and he did all that Broadway work in the middle there. And then now they're just... I mean, they're remaking a movie that was like a cutaway scene from a movie they'd already made. So now it's like copying photographs. After a while, it just feels like, it felt like the trailer for this movie seemed like it could have just been encapsulated by that fight that Hugh Jackman had in whatever X-Men that was, where he's fighting the chick with like the...
X-Men 2,
with
yes.
With the fingernails?
Yeah.
Like that's what the whole movie looked like to me.
Yeah.
Where he's fighting like another woman with an adamantium... skeleton.
Yeah, they're really driving home the Wolverine character, and it just doesn't feel... I mean, there's an X-Men movie coming out next year.
So I'm wondering...
And you know he's going to be one of the main stars in it. So it just seems like they're trying very hard right now.
Yeah, and do you think after two Wolverines and everything that was in First Class and the three X-Men movies, like, what do you... I mean... what's going to go on for this next...
I think it'll work for him, so I think he'll keep... I mean, I don't see it affecting him that much. Or
what about the franchise?
It might be too soon to tell still, but I think it's not going to affect the X-Men franchise. I don't know if we'll see any more Wolverine movies.
Yeah. I doubt that they'll do any more like backstory origin stories for a while.
They'll
let them sit for a little bit.
What about when he goes and plays for Michigan?
When he's one of the Fab Five, he starts wearing black basketball socks.
That was hilarious. I can't believe how funny I am. Okay.
That's really funny.
Two casting things that I want to discuss with you real quick, and then I want to get to the next segment of the show. So Fruitvale Station, which is doing really well. I haven't seen it yet, but the director of that movie, and that movie also stars Michael B. Jordan.
I'm so excited about what you're going to talk about right now.
Yeah?
Sorry, I'm just going to...
Because those two dudes, that movie is doing so well in terms of response right now, that they are in talks to make a Rocky spin-off movie called Creed.
Oh, I'm so excited about
it. Are you stoked?
Yeah, I'm super stoked. I feel like Ricky's maybe not stoked, but I love the Rocky franchise.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's
okay,
actually
great.
Like my therapy. We can get into it on another episode whenever
you
we watch
meat?
The Rockies.
Yeah, you don't eat it.
Meat
you just
all the time.
Punch it.
Just punch it. But with the exception of Rocky V, which everybody kind of agrees is a failure, but
I
Rocky
like that
VI.
One.
All right, Reagan. Was like a really good movie for what it was, and I feel like if they are sort of using that as like a springboard to go backwards, I'm really excited about it. Michael B. Jordan is great, and I'm only hearing great things about Fruitvale Station.
Okay,
so
Ricky, on the fence about it.
I am on the fence about it just because I've enjoyed all of the Rocky movies, and it's like, man, if you're going to do what would this be? Would this be 6 or 7?
It would be 7.
Like, oh, how many times are you going to keep pushing it to the line before you realize, like, before it isn't a good movie, and then it just leaves a bad taste in our mouth?
But it would also be, like, tangent episode 1, because it's about Creed.
So
it's not about Rocky.
Let me ask you a question. If the movie Creed also has a cameo from Wolverine, problem solved? I think we've solved two problems.
The band Creed does the soundtrack.
Ooh, all right.
Thumbs wide open.
Two birds, one schnink.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Whoa. Wolverine sound effect,
our
by the way.
Our sound effects are on point today.
Okay, final. This is. I don't even want comment on this.
Okay.
This is just. I'm just laying this out here because we're going to get to our next segment. I just am laying this out. The most obvious thing ever is also happening in terms of rumors. Rumors of casting. This is just a rumor. Not been confirmed. But also, when I read it, and then I thought about it, I was like, no, that's clearly going to happen, and I don't want it to happen. I'm not happy about it. I'm just telling you guys that it has been rumored that Ryan Gosling and Zac Efron will be playing Luke Skywalker and Han Solo's sons, respectively. I'm just going to leave that there.
That's just rumor Willis.
That's just rumor Willis about the old water cooler.
No comment.
No,
no
comment. We will be back to discuss what kids are up to next after this. Well, welcome back. Here's an exciting feature of today's show. It's sort of a pitch it, but it's like an overarching pitch it, because I've been thinking about, so for today's episode, we're reviewing The Hunger Games, and this movie is part of this whole movement towards having kids in books fighting, like, unforeseen evil, but be it wizards or vampires, or finally, like, a dystopian future government and Stanley Tucci. In The Hunger Games.
The Tooch.
So I guess my question, oh, Rhea's off mic. She's got a cough sore because I'm hilarious. And that's amazing because you spend a lot of time with me, so I must be pretty good at my job. Oh, you want water. So what I asked you guys to bring in for today's show, I asked each of you to bring in your idea for the next franchise of kids fighting things. I want to know the next thing that kids are going to have to take on using skills or... not parents, certainly not parents. We know that's not going to be available. Skills or their friends. Those are the two things that are available to you.
Okay.
So, Rhea, I'm going to start with you. Rhea, kids aren't... wizards are over. And I believe the vampire idea has been drained.
There's a steak through its heart.
Good one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a...
they've made a garlic pizza and served it up to the vampire friend. Okay.
Yeah, all the stakeholders have done well.
Boom.
And I am pretty hungry for a new game. That was really
funny. Wow.
So what have you brought in today?
Well, my idea for the next sort of enemy of children, if you will, are their phones.
Oh,
ooh.
Wow. I like that.
In the future, technology becomes self-aware and kids are the only ones able to play the games needed to win. An example of a possible franchise? Rebooted? War Games 3. The Birds Are Angry.
Wow! Wow! Wow!
Now, it could also be that iPhones
hey,
are good.
Lindsay, can
and
you
Androids
actually just cut
bad?
This part of this podcast? Because I think we should just deliver this directly to Sony or whoever. Is that relevant, Sony? I don't even know if that's a thing.
There's Sony pictures.
So wait, you yes, Androids can be evil and...
iPhones are good or iPhones are bad and Androids are good, depending on whichever one wants to give
Let
us
me
more
ask
money
you a question.
To make the movie.
If the telephones are sentient, do they have tiny legs?
Of course
like
they have tiny legs.
Like that little spot from 7-Up?
Yes, like a cool spot from 7-Up. And they, whenever you're not playing with them, they just start whistling and snapping their fingers.
I'm just asking about this tie-in because I can just imagine like a lot of bendable, like you would put it on a desk, you know, like at an office, just to show your personality.
Not only would you buy the actual phone itself, you would buy, you know, some sort of replica.
Like a sinister, bendy leg.
Yeah, like a keychain and then a t-shirt of the phone.
Why would
and then
you not
a clock
get that?
Of the phone.
The merchandising opportunities sound fantastic. The clock of the phone is great. It's just not a usable phone at all, but it still
but
has
a phone.
The clock feature.
It just has a clock in it.
Yeah, okay.
Not the same as the phone with a clock.
Or not, and also
it
not the same
clock.
As a regular clock. I understand.
Yes.
It's a phone clock. I get
it's
it.
It's a phone clock.
It's a telephone.
It's a telephone clock.
Well, that's...
fantastic.
That's a great,
fantastic.
Great offering from
fantastic.
Rhea Butcher.
Absolutely.
Ricky Carmona, what have you brought in today?
Can I just say, I voted for yours, Rhea, as soon as you held up your book like a scroll. Yeah. She announced it to us just now.
And it rolled.
It was,
and then there were
and it just
horns.
Kept going.
I know, I couldn't believe you didn't hire like fanfare to...
The battle of the hymn of the symphony
like the beginning
started playing
of
in here.
Sleeping Beauty.
All right. So what I have are kids against grown-ups.
Oh.
Not actual grown-ups. The stars and writers of the movie Grown Ups.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I love it because also the stars and writers of the movie Grown Ups, as you know, not super adept.
Yes.
At life or challenges.
No.
You know what I mean?
They don't know how to go to a pool anymore.
No.
They
can't play basketball.
They
used to be able to play basketball, but now they got to wear knee pads.
Now they're old.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going for here. Children with their friends.
Yes.
Taking down the Grown Ups franchise.
Let me ask you a question. Here's a couple things I want to bring up. Number one, are you going to, how much in this franchise is there going to be two children on opposite sides of an open doorway tripping like an overweight person? I know Kevin James is looking good these days. So maybe older, like Kevin James from the past?
There'll be several Kevin James in this movie.
Kevin James going on like a Matt Damon weight gaining diet so that he can replace the lost
Kevin James.
I just feel like this. Yeah, so he can replace the lost James.
Kevin James is
Raiders of the Lost James.
I think my kids would go more the technology route, so it might be more like a Spy Kids, like laser type thing. A lot of gadgets in my movie, a la Rhea Butcher's over here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe there's a tie-in somehow. Maybe there's a crossover, a Marvel crossover.
Worlds collide.
Worlds do collide.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say to this. I think everybody brought in great stuff, but it is without a doubt in my mind whose franchise is moving forward. And I think, Ricky, you know, we know when we've been beat.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I am conceding.
Yeah. I think we have to give this one to Rhea Butcher.
All right, thank you.
Came up with a great idea. And I, you know.
You're welcome.
I cannot wait to be married to you and own one half of that idea. I cannot wait to be rich and rich. We will be back to talk about The Hunger Games right after this.
Hi, this is Dave Hill from Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident on the Maximum Fun Network. I'm here with my lovely and talented secretary, Ms. Shayna Feinberg. Shayna, I understand you've been doing a bit of research to find out what listeners think of the show.
Yes, I have, Dave.
And what have you found?
Well, people that love it say they love it because it's just Dave hanging out with someone in his apartment.
Awesome. What do people that hate it say?
They hate it because it's just Dave hanging out with someone in his apartment.
Oh.
Listen to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident on the Maximum Fun Network, motherfucker.
Was that too much?
No, I think it was perfect.
Awesome. Well, now is the time in the show when we give you a brief review of a dick flick. I will have you know also that somebody recently reviewed the show on iTunes, which you should do, by the way. Please rate and review.
Please.
Helps other people find our show. It matters so much to us and to the show.
It makes us very happy.
It makes us very happy, but also it helps people listen to this show. And we think it's a great product. We think we're really proud of it. So get it out there. But somebody recently put dick flick in quotes.
Is that right?
Nice. Yeah, they were like, it's just great to hear two women talk about dick flex. And then they're like, plus, like, Ricky's amazing. But I will say this person who did praise you was not as impressed that you could talk about a dick flick. I'm just saying. I think he even called us lesbians. I mean, which we are.
Well, yes.
But
he was upset with me?
No, he wasn't upset. I just mean he was like, he just
gave you short shrift.
No, he didn't. He didn't give anybody short shrift.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is he paused. And in his mind, he said, Ricky's great at reviewing dick flicks, but he should be. You know, it was a Title IX sort of a situation where we were playing baseball.
Yes.
And he couldn't believe it. You know what I mean? Where he was like, it's just weird to see the women on this field. And I'm proud of them. They're great at their jobs. So shout out to that guy. Thank you so much for being proud of us. Appreciate ya.
That guy, Barack Obama.
Yeah. So, Lindsay in the booth.
We got a Lindsay.
Yeah,
one.
Nice.
Lindsay left on that one.
She had to
point
leave.
Point Ricky.
Woo-hoo. Awesome. So this week we chose to review Gary Ross's 2012 The Hunger Games, which is currently available on Netflix. Watch Instant. Spoilers will follow this part of the show. So this movie was based on the books by Suzanne Collins. Bestsellers, did really well, and then really quickly were turned into films. I mean, not a ton of time. It felt like Harry Potter was like a couple of years, and then Twilight was like a year, and it kind of felt like The Hunger Games was like immediately.
Yeah,
did you just feel like that was very fast?
Right away.
I feel like it's now it's a thing. you write a book, a series of books.
You mean a screenplay?
Yeah.
Right. And then the movie just comes out within a year or two.
Thanks, J.K. Rowling, says Suzanne Collins while writing her a thank you note out of money.
But that Shades of Grey is not... It's just not coming out as quickly.
I'm not done with it yet. I'm working on that screenplay.
Oh, my God. But specifically kids franchises, right? That's, like, what's happening now. So, anyway, very interesting stuff. But director Gary Ross, I didn't know this, because when I saw this movie for the first time, I saw it in theaters, I didn't realize that the guy who directed this, he also made Seabiscuit and Pleasantville. I love Pleasantville, actually. I loved that movie.
Yeah, Pleasantville's great.
I enjoy Pleasantville.
He also wrote those. We wrote the screenplay for Seabiscuit, but then he also wrote Pleasantville, and he also wrote Dave and Rhea. Hold on to your chair. He wrote Big.
Oh, my God.
This is the dude who wrote Big.
Shit. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This director
and Dave?
And Dave. But he didn't make those movies. He just wrote them.
Right.
But that's still amazing. So I was like, wait, what? How did I not? How was that? How did that not get any play?
Yeah.
They were really focused on Jennifer Lawrence when this movie came out.
Big time.
And that's all they pushed.
Big time.
So the movie, as I just said, stars Jennifer Lawrence. It stars Liam Hemsworth. It stars Josh Hutcherson.
Got it.
With also some big deal cameos. That's one thing that's really interesting about this movie is that none of the main stars, I mean, even Jennifer Lawrence at this time, now she won the Oscar in the same, for a movie that she made in the same, or that was released in the same calendar year, because she won for Silver Linings Playbook, which was a 2012 movie as well. So that's fascinating to me to begin with, like that she would make, to make those two movies in the same year and then win an Oscar for something that's very like, you know, that's a comedy, but a drama, and there's a lot of emotional stuff going on, and then also to be the star of, like, the biggest kids franchise.
Yeah.
That's, she, Baby Girl set herself up.
That's some range.
She done right. And then to trip on the way up to get that Oscar, girl.
Come on, girl.
You're gonna work forever.
Stumble on up there.
And get grossed out by Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, I'm impressed with her. She was killing it. And... she really wasn't a big deal, though, before this film. I mean, she had done a great job in Winter's Bone, but she wasn't a big household name. And none of the kids really were, the younger actors. But then, like, Woody Harrelson, Stanley Tucci, Lenny Kravitz
just, like, is in this movie.
Yeah, a lot of the peripheral characters are, like, long-time Hollywood celebrities.
Donald Sutherland. Elizabeth Banks.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a ton of... So it's very interesting to see that. And they kind of blend in, too. Like, they don't get a ton of screen time or a ton of, like, focus. So it's really weird to see that. I feel like this is... I haven't seen a movie that's done that as much as The Hunger Games recently.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to get on to talk about the movie, I guess, and just hear some best and worst on what you guys think about it. So I want to start with you. I'm going to start with you, Ricky. What is the worst part?
The worst part of this movie for me was, you know, overall, I didn't care. I didn't know it was. The movie felt like it was made for people who have read the book. I kept having questions as everything was happening. Like, there's that, it starts off with the scroll that this war has started. Are we on Earth? Oh, it's in Panem. Where is that? I don't know where that is. What happened to America? Is that just completely gone? That didn't really make any sense to me. Why am I supposed to like Jennifer Lawrence? Because she can shoot a bow and arrow? Why does that other dude like her? These are all things that I'm just asking, because something would happen, and I'd be like, okay, why is that? And then it would just move on to the next moment in the movie. It just felt like highlights from the book. And I haven't read the book. So I really wanted, like, I wanted some backstory, especially for a first movie where I'm just being introduced to this world of people.
I could not agree with you more. That is actually one thing that I wrote about it as well. I had read the first Hunger Games. I think I also read the second one, and then I just kind of fell away from the series. But I had read it, and then when I went to see it, I could not... I mean, it almost feels like a fan vid or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels unfinished. And I think part of that could speak to what we're talking about, like, the rush to get this movie out, because I don't know if you guys saw all the Harry Potters. I don't think you did.
Nope.
Did I? Come on.
So those are great standalone movies.
Yep.
Like, the books are more detailed, and they describe other things. The movies are beautiful. They're perfect in their... encapsulating the world. You don't need to know anything else. I didn't finish reading the Harry Potter series, and I finished watching it, and I thought it was great. You know, I never had a question about what was going on. This movie just felt like everything felt very forced in terms of like trying to get people to catch up, but it's too much. Yeah. The leap was too far.
Yeah, and even when. Like it's very slow to start off as well.
Yes.
And I still didn't feel like I was getting valuable information about the movie. And it's just the fact that it started off with that scroll as well. It's one of those things where it's like, show me, don't tell me. Yeah. I would rather see shots of this war happening or that it was once America and now slowly it's fallen apart into this Panem, whatever it was called.
Yeah, I think, and the other thing is,
and how come nobody's like, "Hey, aren't you Lenny Kravitz?" I mean, come on, it's Lenny Kravitz. But it's so weird.
But also, I think you're right, especially because this movie has high stakes for kids. You know, like people are dying in this movie. So I agree with you that not really doing a great job of explaining the world doesn't really give you much investment. And then when people are dying, you're like, I guess that's bad because of how death is bad. Like, there's no additional feeling to bring to that.
Absolutely.
Well, so, Rhea, what's your worst part?
I mean, that like perfectly transitions into what my worst part is. There's like absolutely no tension in this movie whatsoever. Because I saw it in the theater. I read the book. Did not like it when I saw it in the theater. I watched it again for the podcast, and I mean, I wasn't actively disliking it because I hadn't just read the book, but there is like no. I feel nothing for, like, any of these people, and there's, like, no ramping up of anything. And the book, that's why people like the book so much, because it's just, like, constantly ramping up the tension of, like, what's going to happen. Like, you spend what feels like 4 days with her putting her clothes on in the book, and then in the movie they're like, well, we're going to light it on fire. All right, she's on fire. Okay, now she's, you know, it's just, like, it doesn't,
there's
no tension, there's no hidden anything, everything's just there. And, like, in the final battle, even those dogs come out. They make those dogs. And in the book, to spoil the book a little bit, they're, like, created from the kids that have already died. So there's, like, this extra layer of, like, super fear. Like, it's just terrifying when it happens. And in the movie, it's, like, a throwaway thing that they're just sending out dogs, which could have absolutely been included in the movie.
Sure.
And like, it would have, it's just a matter of CGI.
Yeah.
Like, they already made it. I don't understand why they didn't make it that way. Was it, like, too terrifying? Well, like, you already had a human boy break another human boy's neck. Like, just, like, nothing. So I feel like leaving that out made absolutely no sense.
I mean, maybe this was also just a really hard book to translate into a movie that kids could see, because you want to make that money from parents taking their kids to this movie. But a lot of the stuff that they're discussing is really intense. I mean, but I don't even know if kids should be reading this book, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
This book scared the crap out of me. In terms of, like,
it's insane
the stuff that's happening. But the other thing I would say is that even the look of the movie to me is super weird. I do not understand, like, I know that the people in the Capitol are supposed to have, like, pink hair and stuff, but, like, making it all Marie Antoinette, like, it just seems like...
The opulence doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, like, it doesn't make a ton of sense.
They could have focused all that time on the train and the food, and that focus would have made more sense because, like, there's no food anywhere and no one can eat anything.
Right.
Like, focusing on that instead of, like, hair and makeup
would
have been so much better. And just having them have, like, colored
hair.
And
just, again, to bring it back to Harry Potter, like, that's such a great example of taking, like, a world that we can understand and then translating it into places that we can't understand. But it just seems like a more natural extension. Mm-hmm. This seems like what... I don't know. There wasn't a natural leap. I'm also going to add that my other worst part is Josh Hutcherson. I think he is badly cast.
Which one is he? Because
he's
I didn't
PETA.
Realize. PETA. Okay.
And in this movie, he
terribly cast.
Let me down so badly because he's supposed to kind of be like a... The difference between him and Gale is not... In the book is more like... They're different types of boys. In this movie, it's like they almost seem like they're different classes, but also like different, like, size. There's just like.
He barely speaks.
He just was a huge letdown for me. I could not get into that character. And he could have been so much more interesting, and he could have been like.
There was no chemistry between the two of them.
No, that's what I was about to say. There was none whatsoever. I didn't understand why is she forcing herself to start like PETA or. And then, like, when they kiss, it cuts back to the other guy. And I was like, oh, is she supposed to like that guy?
Yeah.
Who's the guy who is she supposed to be with? Is that something that they're trying to create? Or did I miss that again? Like that there is this past history between
in
them
the book,
two?
It's kind of more vague. But in this
more
movie,
vague? Wow.
Well, it's just like she's a kid that has crushes, basically.
And you can hear inside her brain because it's a book, which you can't do in a movie. So
I have a question about that, actually, because I found out that the book, is it all first-person perspective? Is it from her point of view?
Yeah.
Okay. I would have so much rather have seen that movie then, just everything from her first-person perspective, than the way it was told now, just because things did feel so disjointed.
I feel like they also tried to turn it into another Twilight by doing that.
Well, I think that's a great point. And I want to I want to finish up by getting to some of our bests of this movie. So it sounds like we all had a pretty low opinion of it.
Yeah.
But what is the best part? Ricky, what is the best part?
How about those names that everybody had? The names in the movie, they all sounded like breakdancers from the 80s. I thought that was pretty great. And specifically, I thought Woody Harrelson, just like you were saying, like people would show up. When Woody Harrelson showed up, I was like, Woody Harrelson's in this?
What's he doing?
And he's one of those guys where I think we forget how good an actor Woody Harrelson is. Another movie that he is in that he just like kills it in, this movie called North Country with Charlize Theron, where she plays a miner and a miner like in the coal mines, and she's the first person to bring up a sexual harassment lawsuit. She's the first person to do that in the USA, and he plays her lawyer. And it's again one of the things where he shows up, and I was like, oh, there's Woody Harrelson, and he kills it. Same thing in this. I could have watched his story. I wanted them to cut back in time so I could see how he won and what made him become the alcoholic kind of drunk that he is, you know?
Well, again, I mean, maybe that's if they had some sort of more charismatic Josh Hutcherson in there and sinking every scene that he's in, and then Woody Harrelson standing behind him, and you're like, just get out of the way, kid.
Yeah, right?
Just get out of the way. So, Rio, what's the best part for you?
My best part is Jennifer Lawrence.
I agree. That's also my best part.
Well, I mean, she's like really trying with what she's got in this. I still think that the one of the best scenes in this whole movie is when Prim gets called, and then she just like freaks out and says, "I volunteer." I felt like that is a brilliant scene. She plays that so well. And like Ricky was just this was evoking another role. I think that Winter's Bone is a better version of Hunger Games than Hunger Games is of Hunger Games, because it gets that just desperation and need and like trial and tribulation, like all the things she's going through.
So that's what somebody should do, is they should just edit out all the parts of this movie. Just put Winter's Bone. This is easy to do.
Actually,
you can watch Winter's Bone. Your Mac. Just do this immediately. Yeah, just watch Winter's Bone. So I agree with you. My best part is definitely Jennifer Lawrence, who I think is a very talented actor, and I cannot wait to see. She also seems to be pretty balanced. I mean, I hope that she can hang on, because I know she's under the spotlight a lot now after winning the Oscars. I just really hope that people can just get out of her way a little bit and let her keep growing as an actor, because I think she's got a huge career ahead of her. I'm really impressed with her at this point. So, to conclude our review, Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 Stanley Tucci's in a ponytail, how many tailed Tucci's do you give The Hunger Games?
I gave it 2 on Netflix, so I'll give it 2.
Great.
Stanley Tucci fake tooths.
Okay, got it. Ricky, scale of 1 to 5 hours spent looking up photos of Jennifer Lawrence. How many hours do you give The Hunger Games?
Well, I would spend many hours looking up pictures of Jennifer Lawrence, but I would only spend two hours. Yeah. And that's, I'm being nice.
Yeah, very generous.
I am going to give The Hunger Games 2 sisters going to war instead of their sisters.
just watch A League of Their Own instead.
Yeah, I mean, this is
a two
that's ever faltering towards a one. This is this is probably one of the worst versions of this that we could have seen. The 2 is only because the story is captivating. The 2 has nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah.
Throwaway movie, unfortunately. Okay, so we are going to leave you with this. This is our final thought for the show this week. So what are you thinking about this week, Rhea?
I am thinking about a movie that I watched over the weekend.
We're going to have the same one.
I figured. I thought I... Oh, well, I mean, maybe not. We watched a lot of movies this weekend.
Fine.
Anyway, Mine is Spring Breakers.
That's mine too.
All right.
Wow.
Well, I have a second. Ooh. Anyway, I was a big Harmony Korine fan when I was in art school.
And, tell us
I thought
who
it was cool. He is the screenwriter of Kids and then also the writer director of Gummo and Trash Humpers.
He's
and
the man that we have to, thank for Chloe Sevigny in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, she was discovered before and had
Sonic
that, like, New
Youth,
York Times
technically.
Article.
And Porn Stash.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, is that the same guy? Nope, cancel that. Is Porn Stash the guy from Kids?
No, that's Leo Fitz.
Wow, great. Okay.
Leo, anyway.
Sorry.
I love
Fitzpatrick.
Sorry.
Leo Fitzpatrick. So he made all of those movies. He's like a Dogma 95 director, all that stuff. He's like very art house, but he's also like a New England rave kid or whatever. So I stopped watching his movies after Mr. Lonely because I just couldn't do it anymore and didn't watch Trash Humpers.
Funny thing about the way you're describing him is that it honestly sounds like you're saying any two words.
Trash Humpers.
And then I stopped watching after Mr. Lonely. He's like a Radar 95 and also like Trash Radar 90. Like thumb to bump in it.
Oh,
I was like dancing on him, prancing.
Anyway, he's a very weird dude, but a somewhat prolific director. And then Spring Breakers came out and everybody was losing their mind about it because it's like about crazy stuff. So we finally got around to watching it, and I was actively hating it. I had kind of the same experience with Upstream Color, that I was, like, actively hating the movie until about halfway through, and I won't say specifically why. But then I ended up, at the end of that movie, realizing that he had finally made his masterpiece. He found, like, a subset of people to make a masterpiece. Anyway, you're giving me the wrap-up. That's fine. Oh, I do have one last thing, though. You should check out this website called Death Drives, a photo series by Dean Rogers, who recreated photographs of when someone was celebrities, like Princess Diana and James Dean. They died in car crashes. He took photos of the road on the anniversary of their death. It was very interesting.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're sandwiching.
It's a heavy note.
Just right in a second. Ricky Carmona.
I am thinking about, are we getting to the end of summer now? Are we there? It's hard to be in L.A. and know when the end of summer is happening.
I don't know. It could be, I think it's May or it could be October.
All right. I'm starting to collect this backlog of songs that I've just been enjoying all summer. And two of them in particular. One is called Cocoa Butter Kisses by Chance the Rapper. He is fantastic. He sounds like if George Clinton and one of the Star Wars creatures from, like, the cantina and Mos Eisley got together and put out an album. And you can download his mixtape for free on his website. The website is chancereps.com. He's from Chicago.
Cool.
Hannibal Buress directed one of his videos. Chance the Rapper is sick. And the other guy is Mayor Hawthorne, who has not blown up yet. But I think he will. He has a song called Her Favorite Song on his album called Where Does the Door Go? And it's just, I love songs where somebody sings about someone being addicted to music. And, like, that's their drug. And that is what this song is about. This woman who, her addiction is to music, but that's what sets her free. And it really just kind of, at the end of the song, it's almost like the angels are singing in the background with what happens in the chorus. So enjoy those two if you get the chance.
Awesome. Awesome. And I feel terrible that I was so hard on you about that.
So harsh on me. Well, you made me squish it in there.
I'm sorry I squished you, Death Road. I feel terrible. I'm going to have to be.
I would have been more eloquent.
I can't believe Hannibal directed a video for that's.
For Chance the Rapper, yeah.
Our guy
that's awesome.
Is
our guy.
A director now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to agree with Rhea because we did watch Spring Breakers together. I was standing up and yelling at the computer because I was so upset with how the movie was going. And then Upstream Color didn't change for me. You know, at the end of that, I still thought it was weird little pigworms. but this movie really did. I have a feeling, because this is something you said to me, Rhea, that you thought maybe people liked it because it was, like, so bawdy or crazy,
mm-hmm.
but that actually the movie, it's like a movie about making movies.
Yes.
And not to sound, like, snotty, but I don't know if that's why people were digging it. Because, it's bawdy and crazy, but that's on purpose. And so my point is that, did people realize that at the time? It is unclear.
Yeah.
It is unclear, but you should watch it and make up your mind about what you think this movie is saying about movie making. Very interesting, and I would recommend it as well. And next week, we are going to watch End of Watch, which is currently available on Netflix Watch Instant. I cannot wait until I get to say that we're watching Elysium next week. But that's not yet.
Not yet. Soon.
It's not yet, guys.
First, we have a shaved head Jake Gyllenhaal before shaved head Matt Damon. Right.
I'm going to shave my head.
Yeah. Oh, God, I can't wait to see it. All right, End of Watch next week. Until next week, I'm Cameron Esposito.
Ricky Carmona.
Rhea Butcher.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun. And thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.